Hello, Heather. I am not able to turn my video on. I guess you have to allow me to turn my video on.
Yeah, it says I'm unable to turn on my video.
Yeah. Can you all hear me? Same situation.
Chat in the code.
Heather's video is working.
It is. Can't figure out why mine's working and no one else's.
If you let Heather, if you let Chad in, I bet Chad can help because Chad is in the waiting room. Yeah, and yes, and there's a number of other people who are in the waiting room that should all be promoted as panelists too. But one thing at a time.
We'll get there.
We will.
Okay, it says everyone should be able to show video.
I think mine is working now.
Hey.
Oh, there's Jessie in a lovely sweater.
You agree now?
I'm not color coordinated with the bus, though.
Yeah. I'm not seeing a prompt for video, you know. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Got it now, Tom?
Yes, I do. And let's see. We still got a couple minutes till 7, I believe.
Yeah, a few. And then Heather, please let Brian, Eric, Greg, Hope, and Liz should all be promoted as panelists.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Chad.
I'm really trying to join that link. So there was a Teams link that was posted in our interior and on our calendar.
I think that was Eric.
Oh, was it? Okay. It popped up and my phone cleared it, but I didn't get to see it.
Chad, I got the same thing. So I don't know who popped it up, but I was there earlier and then was like always.
I don't have my Teams on here, so I got it on my phone. I'll pop it on my phone just to make sure there's nobody there.
Thank you, Chad. That'd be great. Good to see everybody. Thanks everyone for being so punctual. Hi, Greg. Hi, Liz.
Yeah, Brent is there. So I'll have her get the right. I'll find anybody that's in there. State there. I'll give them the correct link for it.
Yeah, maybe send out a note to all staff on Teams.
Oh, great idea. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that, Chad. Okay. Well, hopefully our, let's see, we're waiting on a couple people. Let's see, is there anyone there's a few people that are coming in now, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, Nan Creep is here from Caltrans. Should we have her, is she just separate, listening in, or should we promote her as well?
I think just listening.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Somebody that can take notes for me because I'm always behind the curve. Like, ah, should have wrote that down. So, she's part of two.
Yeah, she serves on our technical advisory committee.
Nice.
We know Manfred. And Matt Dulcich looks like he needs to be promoted as well. And there's Dante. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, oh,
okay. I'm 2 minutes away from an actual sitting computer. So I just want to make sure I joined on time.
Okay, well, I hope you're not driving while we administer your oath of office, because you need to have both hands on the wheel.
I am pulling up now. HIPAA, a little bit longer.
Okay, no problem. And there's Josh. Welcome, Josh. You made it.
Hello. Good evening, everybody.
Great to have you here. So, I think the last person that we're waiting for, who is technically a member of the public tonight, at least, is Lucas Ferrix, who has not yet been appointed to the YCTV board, so he's not able to serve as a voting member tonight, but I know he's planning to attend and participate as a member of the public.
He is there as an attendee on it.
Yep.
He is here as an attendee?
Yeah.
Oh, there is. Okay.
You can promote him, though, so he can feel free to weigh in.
Okay. He can only weigh in, Director Stoddard, as a member of the public during public comment.
Understood. But I want to hear
what
it's
an unfortunate situation until tomorrow about 9 a.m.
Got it. Okay.
Well, all right. Well, before we jump into the meeting, we do need to swear in our new members. Dante, are you at a place where that can happen?
Yes, I am.
All right. Rachel, Madam Clerk, I'll turn it over to you to do this piece.
Okay. Sure. All right. So, Josh Chapman and Dr. Early, can I ask you both, have you, I'm going to give you a moment to read the oath on the screen. And then let me know when you have had a chance to completely read the oath. Yeah.
Good to go.
All right, excellent. So I'm going to ask you both to raise your right hand. And I am going to state the following. Hello?
I think you're good, Heather. It was just a weird feedback.
You read the oath, you understand it, and you have no exceptions, and you so swear or affirm. Are you so swear? Okay, you are sworn in.
Yeah. I'm transferring over to my computer right now, so I'm going to get my image off for a second.
Terrific, and just want to say how glad you both are, glad to have you both here, and thank you very much for joining our little party here. And with that, Mr. Chair, I think we can kick off the meeting whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Bernstein. This is now the January 9th meeting of the YOLO Transportation District Board of Directors, operators of YOLO Bus and other transportation services in YOLO County. Madam Clerk, would you kindly call the roll, please?
Yes. YOLO County.
Absent.
City of Davis?
Here.
City of Winter.
Here.
City of West Sacramento.
Here.
Tom Stallard.
Here.
So that indicates that four of our five members are present this evening. We await expectantly the appointment of Lucas Frerich as our fellow county representative to continue his terrific service here at Yale Transportation District. So we will, how about our non-voting members? Caltrans and UC Davis.
UC Davis is here. Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Greg Long is here from Caltrans.
Well, thank you both for joining us. All right. So we, as we always do, we begin our meeting with time for the public to offer any thoughts they may have or concerns relative to items that are not otherwise agendized this evening. We will take time at each agendized item for comment at that time. Is there any comments offered, Madam Clerk?
I do not see any comments at this time.
All right. That allows us to move to our consent calendar, and that's items 3A through E. Does any member of the board wish to take any of these items off for separate discussions, or may we proceed to consider them as a whole? I'm not hearing any indication of desire to remove any of these items. And is there any member of the public commenting on any item related to the consent calendar? Madam Clerk?
I do not see any comments at this time.
All right. Then I entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar as submitted.
I would move the consent calendar as stated.
And is that Jesse?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion by Jesse to approve the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second. This is Chapman.
Thank you. Director Chapman seconds the motion. We've had no public comment. We'll proceed to a roll call vote. Heather, would you please call the roll?
Chapman Stiles?
Yes.
Jess Chapman?
Aye.
Jesse Warren?
Aye.
Dante Early?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Now we can move on to the regular calendars. Item 4, administrative reports. And you can see this is a standard group of bullet points we have at each board meeting. We're starting with board member oral reports. Does any board member have anything they wish to share with the board this evening?
I do, Tom.
Jesse, please proceed.
I would just like to thank Autumn for sending out the vision, values, and priorities. It's been a part of our packet for the last 2 years. I think it's very important in that we just updated it in November, and I just wanted to say thank you for sending it out.
Very nice.
That concludes my comments.
Thank you. Any other director wish to report? All right. This would give us time to hear from Transdev. Do we have a report from Transdev this evening? Transdev is the contract operator of YOLO Bus. Yes, Madam Clerk, Madam Executive Director.
Thank you. Our Transdev General Manager is unfortunately out of office. He's ill, but he did send me a report that he asked me to share with you all. So currently, they have 64 operators for 54 operator bids, which means that they have enough operators to run our current service. In fact, they have a little bit of a surplus, and they are ready and excited for the additional Route 42 expansion, which will be adding 9 additional trips to the Route 42 next week in the afternoon peak, and they have another training class starting in 2 weeks to prepare for the microtransit expansion into Woodland.
That's wonderful news. It's nice. It's a big improvement over just a few months ago, that's for sure. So please convey our appreciation for the hard work they've done in recruiting and training operators to be in a situation like this, okay?
Thank you. Will do.
And why don't you proceed right along with your own executive director's oral report?
Okay, happy to do that. So first, I just, you know, since it's top of mind for many of us, just wanted to report on what's been happening with the recent weather and flooding events here in Yolo County and how it's been impacting our operations. So we are in touch with the Yolo Emergency Operations Center. Yolo Bus does serve as the transportation lead for the Emergency Operations Center in Yolo County, meaning that if there are people who need to be evacuated, the Yolo Bus fleet is standing by to do that. However, we also just participate to be aware of what's happening, you know, out there to make sure that our service is not impacted unduly by the weather. So today we did the major area of concern for us was the Cache Creek Canyon and our service, our Route 215, which serves the Cache Creek Casino. We did suspend that service this afternoon. We had some people had taken the service to get to work. You know, many Cache Creek employees ride that service from Woodland to get to work every day. We had two busloads of people had gone up the canyon this morning, and so we did have a trip this afternoon that was only bringing people back down the canyon. We did not have any more people coming up the canyon in the afternoon due to concerns about flooding, and we have now suspended all service until tomorrow afternoon, at which point we will see what the conditions are and may resume service at that time.
Has the casino modified their hours? Do you know?
I don't know. We have been in close consultation with them all day throughout this and made these decisions collaboratively in terms of understanding what their needs were.
Thank you.
Sure. As was mentioned during the TransDev report, we are getting ready to add 9 additional trips on the Route 42 starting on January 15th. That will bring us to full 30-minute headway service in both the morning and afternoon peak, as was originally approved by the board in Yolo-Go and has been a long time coming due to our driver shortage. So we're very excited. We'll also be resuming some late night trips as well on the 42 to allow people who are, you know, have later evening obligations to travel. In addition, we're continuing to work on service planning for our microtransit service, and we have procured vehicles. We're waiting for them to be delivered. We're working on branding for the new service. We are going to be rebranding the service countywide, so we're working on that. Our audit is nearing completion. We've wrapped up, have delivered all of our items to the auditors, and we think we're going to have a very clean audit, and we're looking forward to reporting back to you on that at a coming meeting. A couple of things I did want to flag. We have continued to hear some concerns from residents of South Davis with regard to the changes to the Route 42 and the suspension of the express bus service. So you'll see on the long-range calendar in your packet, we have scheduled to have a public hearing and discussion on that at the March board meeting. In addition, I wanted to make you aware of the fact that the board did approve changes to our fare structure for microtransit. We've been running a promotional fare of $1 on that service since it began, but that promotional fare was never meant to be permanent, and with ridership on our microtransit service, you know, hitting breaking records every month, we realized it was time to end that promotional fare. We have had some complaints particularly from residents in Knights Landing about the fare increase, and so I expect we'll be having some board discussion about that and making some opportunities for the public to come and share those concerns as well in the next month or two. And that concludes my oral report, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions of our executive director?
This is Dr. Early. I have, I think it's an easy question, but yes.
Please, proceed.
Hi, Anand.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
That's so interesting. Zoom, again. So just it's a quick question. So, and I think the microtransit is the same as our VIA in West Sacramento. I just want to make sure I'm equating the two correctly.
It's a similar service, but it is a different service. It's the one that we run currently in Knights Landing and Winchester. But, yes, functionally the
same concept. Okay, great. How much did it get increased to in your microtransit?
Yeah, so the board approved fare was $4 per trip.
Okay.
And the promotional fare, which was, again, adopted at the time the service was launched, was a $1 promotional fare. So it's a pretty substantial increase. And when the original fare was approved, including the promotional fare, there was no end date set for it. And so when we went back and looked, and we realized we'd been running the promotional fare for 2.5 years, that it seemed like it was probably time to
Well, then it wasn't promotional anymore after 2 years. That was super fair.
Okay. Yeah, so understandably some concerns from the residents who probably didn't see it as a promotional fair and saw it as, as this is what the fair is. So.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move on, I think we'll take the AD Managed Lanes monthly report as part of item 5. That's agreeable, Autumn?
Yes, to share that works.
All right. Do you want to comment on the long-range calendar then before we move along?
I do, and I believe we have a slide on this. Is that right, Heather?
That is correct. I am sharing that slide now.
So as you can see, we have the long-range calendar items for February and March. There's a long-range calendar for the full year in your packet, but I won't put everybody to sleep by going through the entire thing. I just wanted to share the next 2 months. So in February, we're going to be doing a first of what I think will be 4 or 5 workshops over the course of the year on developing our 10-year strategic plan. We hope to be having you approve the Woodland Microtransit Service Plan and fixed route service changes. It's an ambitious timeline, but we're hoping to get there. We've got a second quarter financial status report and our year-end close and audit results. We're going to be discussing potential changes to the Citizens Advisory Committee. There's been, of course, a fair amount of turnover on the board, as well as some recommendations from the committee themselves on how to make the committee more effective that we want to share with you all, and hope to be doing some appointments at that meeting. And then in March, we'll do a status report on the Route 42 service changes, including the impacts to South Davis, as I alluded to in my executive director's report. Potentially another 10-year strategic planning workshop. And importantly, we're going to be hopefully having a draft of our zero-emission bus rollout plan. This is mandated by the California Air Resources Board that every transit agency adopt a zero-emission bus rollout plan to transition our fleet to zero-emission vehicles. So this will be our first conversation about that, and we're hoping to wrap that up by June. So that's our long-range calendar.
Thank you. Any questions about that calendar from anyone? Over to the public. Heather, anyone commenting?
Yes, Alan Hirsch has a comment.
Alan, we welcome your input. Please proceed.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I would suggest, thank you very much. Autumn has been amazingly transparent. I would, all these sorts of things. His report last quarter was amazing. We're missing on the calendar the milestones for the I-80 project so the public can know what's happening when. So I think we can plan and provide input in a timely manner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Our next item agenda does relate to 80 Man's Lane, so we can talk about that as part of that discussion. Presuming our council is agreeable. All right. Before we leave these reports, I would just like to offer my personal welcome to both Dr. Dante Gurley and to Josh Chapman. Welcome you both to this board. It's a great opportunity to serve our public. We've expanded our operations and our thinking considerably from being exclusively a bus service provider, important as that is, to many other areas, including point-to-point service, including even bicycle and other active transportation opportunities, and the like. So we're thinking more broadly and more as a county as we go forward. Anyway, we welcome both of you. You're great people, and we're so glad you accepted this assignment. All right. So now we're going to move to item 5 on our agenda, the YOLO 80 Managed Lanes Update, Grant Application and Ad Hoc Committee. And Autumn, why don't you start us off?
Great. Thanks so much, Mr. Chair. And I'll ask Heather to go ahead and share our slide deck for this. And this is going to be a tag team effort. I'm going to be starting this off and then handing it over to Brian Avenant, our Senior Planner for Multimodal Projects. And we also have Liz Justison from WSP, who is our tolling expert that we have retained to assist us as we work on the tolling aspect of this project. And so you're going to be hearing a bit from Liz as well. But I'll start by just saying that there are three components to this to the presentation and our ask to you tonight. The first is to hear from WSP on the key factors for establishing and implementing toll managed lanes for the Yolo 80 project. The second is approving a resolution authorizing us to seek up to $2 million in funding from SACOG's Transformative Grant Program for toll managed lanes advanced planning. And then the third is to retire our existing ad hoc committee related to this project and to establish a new ad hoc committee related to some specific elements of the work going forward. And so with that, I'll go to the next slide. And I want to just start with a little bit of background. Well, we're going to do, we'll do an overview. We'll talk about, actually, that's perfect. Let's stay right there. So a little bit of an overview of this project. What are we doing? We're talking about a 17-mile toll-managed lanes on Interstate 80 between Kidwell Road in Solano County and West El Camino and the I-5 interchange, both of which are in Sacramento County, just on the other side of the river. The purpose of this project is to address congestion, to improve transit and active transportation access. The reason we're having this conversation tonight is because this board and our staff have been working for the last year closely with our partners at Caltrans and SACOG to really envision a project that we feel like is going to best serve the needs of Yolo County communities, the SACOG region, and really the Northern California mega region for whom this is a really critical corridor and one of the most important corridors, and that's why this project is one of 12 mega region priorities identified by the Sacramento region, the Bay Area region, and the Northern San Joaquin Valley region as one of 12 key transportation priorities to make sure that we get it right. It's also going to be the first toll lane in the Sacramento region and helping to implement a key priority of the SACOG blueprint to establish road pricing as a key strategy for helping meet the region's greenhouse gas reduction targets. So let's go to the next slide. Just a quick overview. Actually, I think our slides are a little bit out of order. Can you move forward one slide, Heather, and then we'll come back to history in just a moment? Here we go. So our project snapshot. So the total project cost at this point is $208 million plus some amount for mitigation of environmental impacts. We have about $94 million in committed funding from an $86 million infra grant that YTTE received and an $8 million SACOG planning grant that Caltrans received. We currently have a request for $103 million to the state of California as part of the SB1 Trade Corridors Enhancement Program, TCEP. If we receive that money, then we will be very close to being able to build at least the first phase of this project. And so we are also looking at a SACOG application for about $10 million in construction and $2 million in tolling advanced planning, as we'll get into. So if we are successful in getting the pending application with the state and the SACOG funding, we will be able to build the first phase of this project, which is toll lanes from the 80-50 split in West Sacramento to Richards Boulevard in Davis. We're currently in the environmental phase. We expect to have a draft environmental impact report. I believe the timing is April, and Greg can correct me if I'm wrong, if that timing has changed. We'll then be completing right away and design in the spring of 2025 with a construction start in summer 2025 and construction ending in fall 2027. And with that, let's go back one slide, and I'm going to hand it over to Brian, who's going to tell us a little bit about the history of how we got here.
Yeah, so back in summer of 2021, Yolo Transportation District platform was awarded $86 million in capital funds for this project. And shortly thereafter, the Yolo County Transportation District Board established an ad hoc committee, one of which we are retiring this evening to help kind of guide the project through the initial development phase. In December 21, Autumn brought to the board some project goals which you weighed in on and were subsequently revised, and those reflect the project goals that you see as an attachment to your staff report this evening. And then in January 22, Autumn and team brought in some experts on managed various lanes and best practices, particularly in California and for their surrounding context for those and how that might apply to the Yolo 80 managed lanes project. We spent the next several months working with Caltrans to refine the project description and to come to a consensus that a toll managed lane was going to be a baseline feature of the project. So that was completed in this fall. And then starting in summer through this fall, we recognized as staff that we did not have the experience or the technical expertise to really effectively navigate us through this, toll managed lanes project process. So we issued an RFP for consulting services, and that's how we ended up with the Justice Team of WST, who we're really excited to have on our team, and that she can advise us as we move forward with the project. And then starting the fall through present, we've been working on sort of developing this, strategy that will take us from where we are today to a completed project, but really focusing on what we need to accomplish in the next 12 to 18 months. So we can advance the slide, see where we are. Yeah, so what I was referring to at the end of the previous slide was, the focus of the discussion this evening is sort of sharing with the board what we feel like is the appropriate framework for getting us from where we are today to an implemented managed lanes project, concurrent with, the opening of the larger capital project that Caltrans is responsible for delivering. And so what we're coining this interim process is tolling advanced planning, which itself consists of a subset of sub-processes that, requires, planning and policy in terms of assumptions we want to make regarding, operational parameters for the project, economic analysis so that we can better understand what the financial implications and feasibility of the project is. We need to do some essentially, preliminary design for the tolling component of the project so that, that will indicate or illustrate what the experience will be like for the users themselves. And then also probably one of the bigger ones is navigating through a process to establish a governing authority, because all of these sub-processes are required, not coincidentally, for tolling authority by the California Transportation Commission. You can't just go out and decide you want to establish a toll lane. You have to be delegated that authority by the California Transportation Commission. All this tolling advanced planning work needs to occur in order for us to do that. And of course, you also need all of these, these outputs in order to effectively design and manage and operate the project over time, because the project doesn't end. Once you start charging for usage of a facility, that continues in perpetuity. So this is, somewhat of a heavy lift for us that we expect will take between a year and a year and a half. Cost is upwards in the $1.5 to $2 million range, which sounds like a lot for non-construction, and it is, but relative to the total project cost, we're looking at about 1%, which is not unreasonable for a project of this magnitude. And of course, we're not doing this in a vacuum. We are engaging all of our regional stakeholders and those we haven't contacted yet. We will be doing that as part of that governance structure sub-process, including SACOG, Caltrans District 3, and other counties in the Sacramento region. So I think that's the last for this slide. Oh. Before we move on, so I'll have Liz present the next few slides called Tolling 101, which will sort of dive in a little bit deeper to some of these sub-processes and provide more insight as to what this process will look like moving forward. So Heather, if you want to advance the slide, and Liz, you can carry on from there.
Great. Thanks, Brian. And we can go one more after that. So I'm going to try to break this up into kind of digestible chunks, not to throw a whole bunch at everybody all at once. So there's three topics I would like to introduce to everybody today that are kind of key to the understanding of what are the next steps that need to happen for the ADA project over the next 3, 6, 9 months and a year to advance the tolling component of this project. So starting off with that, I think what's really important to understand is when you are developing an express lane, a managed lane, multiple terms for these, a tolled lane, they're all kind of the same. There's two parallel processes that need to happen. And the top blue bar is what we're all used to when we're delivering a highway project. It's your standard environmental process and then going through the design, that which we term PSE, and then you construct it, and then you're done. You have a capital project that is delivered. When you're developing something that has a toll system on it, there needs to be a parallel effort that happens alongside the civil delivery component. So this is the delivery of the price managed lane piece. And everything you see down below in green are the parallel efforts that need to start happening in order to make this whole system be delivered. And there's two main things that are important to understand about this. First is that it's not well illustrated on this, but the main difference between a standard capital highway project and a toll managed lanes project is they live on. There's operations and maintenance that happen after the life of the project. And because these things live on, and you guys are very used to having operations and maintenance being a bus operator, but it's a little bit different for the highway piece. And what the Federal Highway came up with years ago to make sure that you were able to design and get what you were looking for is called the systems engineering process. So everything you see down below in green is part of the systems engineering process to help develop this whole system, design it, and make sure that you're able to bring a vendor on board to then be implemented. So right now, Caltrans is in the environmental stage of the delivery of the capital civil component of the project. So in parallel, if you look down, this is meant to be kind of lined up. You're starting off with that initial strategic planning of the managed lanes components of this. So you come up with some initial feasibility, those pieces that have been done, and you start moving into what we term the preliminary concept of operations. This is starting to look at some of the initial policy concepts. I have a slide that delves more into that, but things like occupancy, hours, how are you going to access it? Do you have any toll discounts? Then you need to also feed that information into a traffic and revenue study. A traffic and revenue study is going to tell you how much traffic you have, and based on those policy assumptions, is the project viable? How much revenue will you generate after you have collected the tolls and paid off all of your O&M? Those components are needed to then go apply for CTC authority. Like Brian said, you can't just go out and become a toll operator. You need to get authority to toll. And CTC has an application that requires both a traffic and revenue study that shows that the project is viable financially, as well as agreed upon stakeholder consensus on policies, and that you've gone out and reached out to the industry. So the piece that Brian was talking about, the initial toll planning piece, is everything I'm drawing on my screen, you can't see it, kind of from the middle of the green bar to the left. Once you're able to get through consensus on all the policies, you can start then doing a procurement to bring on your toll vendor, because that toll vendor will then work in parallel with the civil contractor to get all the equipment out into your managed lane. So I think this is – we can delve more into any of this for anybody to ask any questions afterwards, but really what we want to highlight is that there needs to start being this development of a parallel process. All right, let's go to the next slide. So all managed lanes are not built the same. There is kind of a suite of different policy considerations that need to be discussed, and consensus needs to happen to make sure that everybody's kind of on the same page about how you want to actually operate your tolled managed lanes. there's a whole bunch of different policies, and it's important that they start being brought to the different stakeholders to discuss the pros and cons of different variations of these. So these are the most important ones and probably the biggest needle movers. There's some smaller nuances that need to also be discussed. But starting with the hours of operation. Currently, most hours of operations for HOV lanes are peak period. So they're in the morning and the evening, coinciding with when the highest level of peak traffic is. And in the Bay Area, they also had peak hours and then have since moved to all-day tolling. So they go from the morning, the beginning of the morning peak to the end of the evening peak. What they don't have is anything that operates on weekends. However, you guys all being very familiar with this corridor, it is a heavy recreation corridor with heavy commutes on the weekends for travel up to the Tahoe Basin. So your hours might want, you might want to consider expanding your hours to be either all day or to be inclusive of weekend operations so you can capture the people traveling to and from the recreation travel. The next big policy decision is occupancy. The HOV lanes are currently at 2+ in most areas in the Sacramento region. In the Bay Area, they have moved to 3+, and there is discussions of some regions moving to even higher occupancy requirements of 4+. Mm. Often there are discounts given. So in the Bay Area right now, you, if you are in 3+ carpool, you ride for free. If you're 2+, you pay half of your toll on the express lane, and then if you're a single occupant, you pay the full toll. So figuring out what occupancy you want to have and occupancy requirements. The next big one is toll discounts and exceptions. Do you want to give discounts for clean air vehicles? Is there going to be an equity program that has possibly a means-based toll going alongside of it? Do you want to charge two actual vehicle trucks? All additional policy components. Next is access. This is actually one that needs to be done in concert with the civil delivery team to make sure that the traffic works out from the access perspective. Traditionally, HOV lanes in Northern California have been open access, which means you can just freely go in and out from the general purpose lane to the HOV lane. When the beginning of express lanes 20 years ago, they were all buffer separated. They had a hard buffer between the price lane and the general purpose lane. Then we moved to a striped division. And then they move to open access, and now there's some hybrid. And there's pros and cons of all the different variations of access. It's just really important that everybody be on the same page and understand the pros and cons, what those mean for the end user and their ability to use the lane. The next one is how do you break up the system? You have to price for chunks. So and your project, you might build it in phases, so maybe the first phase is one segment. But you don't price the entire thing all in once. You tell drivers, the next 3 miles will be this price, and then the 3 miles after that will be another price. So how you break up those the project into more priced pieces is one of the last policy decisions. And finally, a little bit on toll payment. Are there any requirements or thoughts around having a min or a max toll, any surcharges that you want to have if you want to allow for license plate tolling? So none of these are decisions that everybody needs to make today, but they're decisions that need to start coming together with background information of pros and cons, socializing them with the different stakeholders so that you can build consensus so that as you go into a final TNR, those policy decisions are what are used for defining how the revenue is going to work, as well as making sure that the civil infrastructure can provide what is needed for all of these policy assumptions.
That's quite a long
list. I'm trying to break up, but not quite too many. There's a few others, but those are the big ones. Lastly, I thought it would just be kind of helpful to give context of Sacramento versus what's in the Bay Area, where the Bay Area has a much more established toll. I'm sure a lot of you guys have traveled to the Bay Area. You are used to using the facilities there from the bridges to the express lanes. And so this diagram is showing you how that actually works. It seems kind of easy, like you drive through and all of a sudden your fast track gets charged and you get paid. but there's a whole architecture of systems and contracts and agencies putting out contracts that make that come to life. So in simplest form, you're the car on the left, and you drive through, let's say, the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge then has equipment at the bridge that captures your license plate or your fast track. They take that information and they send it to what is called the Regional Customer Service Center. And BATA/MTC own and operate that Regional Customer Service Center. So those folks take the transaction and go look up all of your account information. So they either look and see if you have an account with Fast Track, if possibly you have an account with a different CTOC operator within the state of California, or they go look up your license plate in the DMV, and then they go back and charge either your account, send the transaction to another facility, or send you a bill in the mail based upon your registered license plate. So the reason I'm trying to show you all this is not to show how complicated it is, but just to show that there is a need for this underlying architecture of tolling in order to make the express lanes come to life. There's a myriad of different options about how to make this happen in the Sacramento area, but at some point there needs to be a basic understanding of how and who is going to hold those customer accounts. There will be the equipment that's put out in the toll lane, that's one component of it, and then how are those accounts taken care of is another component. And we can further flesh out some of these concepts for everybody, but the most important thing is to make sure that it's thoughtful and that the customer, regional customer service center is done in a way that the Sacramento constituents are able to easily get accounts and pay for their tolls as they use the facility. I think that is my last one.
That concludes your report?
That concludes my report.
Thank you.
We do have a bit more, Brian and I do, so we're not quite done with the staff report yet.
Proceed.
We'll try to keep it quick. Oh, and Brian, I think this is you.
Yeah, we'll go through this quickly. So clearly there's a lot of work that needs to be done over the next year to year and a half. We have a sense of what our, you know, sort of funding need for this process is. It also happens to be, you know, funding that wasn't budgeted in the original capital project, nor in the infra grant that we received, and nor do we have, you know, the resources to cover the entire cost of this advanced planning process independently. So we're looking for external sources of funding, one of which is the State Hub Regional Funding, which has a cycle open right now for which applications are due in early February. Our partner Caltrans are applying for a $10 million capital grant application that we are looking to coordinate with them to co-apply as an independent implementing agency for this scope of work. So in other words, we would be able to sort of maintain, you know, control and of the process and the funding for this scope of work, while Caltrans would still have the same for their capital project. That's my last slide. Oh, I'm going to talk about the ad hoc committees on the next slide.
Thanks, Brian. So very quickly, we have had this Yellow 80 Management Committee that was established back in November 2021. It's completed its work, which was to guide the project through the initial scoping phase and negotiations with Caltrans around clarifying and coming to agreement on the scope of the project. So we are suggesting that the board retire that committee. And going forward, we think most of this work can come directly to the board of directors. However, there is there will continue to be a sensitive component to this, which is particularly around the establishment of the governing body. This will involve YCTV kind of in conversation and negotiation with other regional partners in the region that are interested in this and also doing tolling. We don't want to go alone. We want to have a regional tolling authority. SACOG is, of course, a key part of that, and, of course, Caltrans District 3. So some of these kind of more detailed, nuanced conversations particularly around the establishment of the governing body, we think it's important for us to continue to have an ad hoc committee that can do that. So We are asking for the board to appoint two voting board members for the tolling advanced planning committee, and the board could also choose to appoint a non-voting ex officio member, such as UC Davis's Matt Dulcich, who served on the original committee and was very helpful in that capacity. And so just to reiterate our request of you, one are to approve a resolution authorizing us to seek the funding for the SACOG Transformative Grant Program and to establish this new tolling advanced planning committee. And with that, that concludes our report. Thanks for your attention.
Well, thank you. That was a comprehensive report, and I'm going to ask for interested volunteers from our board in just a moment, but perhaps I ought to first pause and ask if there's public comment on the report that's presented this evening. Madam Clerk?
Adam Hirsch does have comment.
Alan, please proceed.
Thank you very much. This material that was just presented was not in the staff packet, so it's really hard to prepare the material. Usually as a courtesy, at least in the city of Davis and most of the places I've been, the entire packet, including new material, is always presented to the staff packet. This has happened a couple of times. This is too important a project to be done off the cuff. People should be presented information, and people can make more informed comments if material is available. So I urge that basically that as a policy that all new material be presented in advance in the packet. Thank you for ending one ad hoc committee, but forming another ad hoc committee, which is basically just continuation, is not ad hoc. This is a standing committee. This is too big a project to be done in secret with two people or three people. It should be done in public, in a subcommittee, which has public notice and public minutes. It should be more visible. Please, please, do not make this. It questions the legitimacy of the process on such a big project with such big climate change. I don't think this is appropriate. I don't think you want to do this. I'm also concerned that basically in your review things you didn't discuss induced demand. You thought that you could, it implied that basically there's ways of getting around induced demand. You can no more get around induced demand by widening freeways, whether you pay tolls on the wider freeway or not, then you can fight gravity. And the minutes sort of ignore this sort of reality. Any widening the freeway, adding capacity, whether they pay toll or not, will add capacity to move us in the wrong direction on climate change. If we really think this is a crisis, we need to address this more firmly. There should be direct discussions of this very difficult thing, difficult problem. And I don't have yet to see it happen. Really discussions about how we do not want to add any capacity. And the third is, we need to get transit capacity in the quarter, not in this short little thing, the entire quarter. Because these people are going to Tahoe, they're going to, we still don't have any transit service up and down I-80. Bus service that serves all the communities on it. And that should be part of the plan, because we are at the choke point on I-80 here, which is Causeway. You add widen the Causeway, it's like widening the Bay Bridge in the Bay Area. It's the choke point on this corridor. If you widen that, you're adding more capacity. That we should be funding transit bus service up the entire corridor. I don't see any plan for that. There should be bus service. So in Solano County, there should be bus better coordination up the corridor into Roseville. I don't see any of that happening in the scope of things. I'm concerned about it. And the fourth item is basically we have no way of addressing stoppers on HOVs. And you can't see if someone's really in the back seat because of tilted windows. So basically having an HOV with three or four people, we can't manage that. You go on I-80 down to Elk Grove during rush hour and HOVs, you see about 10 or 20 percent of the people in those lanes. I do not have two people. If you're running next to them, you can see it. There's no way to enforce that. So I'm quite concerned about this project, and it moves us in the wrong direction on climate change. And I know you guys have lots of free money to give away all sorts of things that makes, I saw there's a lot of discussion
about
that.
Thank you
very much.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Is there just a public comment tonight? All right. As I understand the idea of a new subcommittee of the board, it's basically to comment on these various aspects of tolling as presented tonight with our staff in order to ultimately design a recommendation. But that's essentially the work that the subcommittee would be asked to do. With that, Autumn, has there been expressions of interest from our board? You mentioned that Dulcich, I think he'd be a great choice for as a non-voting member, but a very useful voice.
Yeah, I would leave it to the board members themselves to express if they do have interest.
All right, and Dr. Early, I think perhaps you are interested in this. Is that correct?
I am. So I'm going to do super. So I am interested in serving on this ad hoc committee. And then also, I think because of the connection on the causeway with Davis, that it would also make sense for our newly county supervisor, Lucas, to also serve. And so I would request that he serve. I don't know how that works, but if that's allowed, and if he's accepting of it, but that's what I would suggest.
Well, we could certainly make that conditional on his appointment tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors meeting, which we can pretty much assume is a foregone conclusion. So you're interested, and Lucas, are you present on the call?
I am, yes, and I'm willing to serve if the board will choose that.
All right. So we have expressions of interest from our West Sacramento representative for our prospective supervisor representative, and with the assistance of our UC Davis representative. Is any contrary feelings among our board members? Everybody peaceful with that? It sounds like they are.
Tom.
You know, Jesse, I can't see anyone's picture because I'm working off a phone. I'm sorry. So thank you for speaking up. What's your point of view?
My point of view is that I support the direction of Dr. Early and Supervisor Ferrex and ex officio Matt Pilsich, and I think that's a wise way to go forward.
All right. Council, should we do this by motion?
I do believe that's best at this point. Right. And just to reiterate, this ad hoc is being formed for a specific purpose for a short-term nature while these pieces have ironed out. I also just want to highlight for any members of the public that there will be a less than a majority of the board in terms of voting numbers, and that Director Dulcich will be sort of a supportive member in the fact he's non-voting. And so that's where it works within the ad hoc rules.
Thank you. I will take Jesse's comment as a motion to approve the selections we've discussed. Josh, do you want to second that motion?
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
All right. Motion and second. Is there further discussion?
Chair?
Yes.
Chair Stoller, would you like, if it would be acceptable to Director Chapman, I would also like to approve the resolution authorizing the executive director to seek up to $2 million in funding from the SACOG transformative grant program, and also accept the presentation from our consultant tonight.
Thank you. Josh, you're accepting the expansion of the motion to include those items?
I do, yes. Thank you, Jesse.
All right. We've had public comment on the item. Madam Clerk, would you call, please?
Yes. I have City of Woodland.
Aye.
City of Davis.
Aye.
City of Winter.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Well, thank you all, and I want to thank our staff and our consultants for educating us on this. We all had to learn tonight. That's what we do in our meetings, is we learn. So thank you. All right. Does that conclude the item, Madam Clerk? Madam Executive Director?
It does. Excuse me while I move my cat.
Your cat is always welcome at our meetings.
He definitely makes himself welcome, so I'm glad you feel that way.
That's good. Let's see, we're going to move to item 6, which is the selection of vice chair for 2023 calendar year. And Autumn?
Yeah, we don't have any slides for this. It's just a very short staff report, which is that historically we do appoint a chair and a vice chair each July. That has now switched. Last year the board decided to switch it to have that be January through December. In December, of course, Director Stollard was voted to become Chair Stollard, But we wanted to hold off on appointing a vice chair until the appointments from the City of Davis and the City of West Sacramento have been made, so that the board in December suggested that we postpone that decision until now. Historically, we do rotate the chairmanship and the vice chairmanship, so the vice chair generally becomes the chair the next year, and it rotates among the jurisdictions, and there is a table in your staff report that shows those rotations. And based on that rotation, the next in line for vice chair for this year, and therefore for chair next year, is the City of Davis. Which would be Director Chapman.
Director Chapman. Are you prepared to assume the responsibility of vice chair this year?
Yes, I'd be honored to do it.
Well, I will personally nominate you for that role. Is there a second for that nomination?
Dr. Early, second.
Director Lyle, second.
Thank you. So with a motion and a second, I guess I should call for public comment. Is there, yes, please. Is there public comment on this?
I'll raise my hand, Mr. Chair, as a member of the public this evening. I'm very supportive of this nomination, and you know, it's not without precedent. At least two of us on this board, over the time we've served on this board, have basically come in in our first meeting as been appointed as the vice chair, or in fact the chair of this agency board. So I think Councilmember Chapman and Director Chapman will be a great vice chair, and he'll learn a lot from you as chair and be a good chair in the year ahead. Thanks so much.
He's an experienced city councilman. He's been on other joint boards. After a year here, he'll be more than ready to take this on, I know. All right, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Delighted to have that resolved. Welcome aboard again, Josh. Okay, that brings us to item 7, which is the appointment of the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority Board. And our executive director will tell us what we need to do. Autumn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, yes, our recommendation is that the board, that you appoint two directors and an alternate to serve on the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority Board of Directors. As you all know, the Capital Corridor runs between the Bay Area and Sacramento. The Yolo County stop is in downtown Davis. Each of the counties within the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority appoints two members to the board. Some are appointed by agencies like ours. Those in the Central Bay Area are appointed. They are all members of the BART Board of Directors. Until recently, the representatives were Don Saylor representing Yolo County, and Lucas Ferrix representing the City of Davis, and Gloria Partida as the alternate. The board meets bi-monthly, so 5 meetings per year on the third Wednesday of the month. They alternate between Sassoon and Oakland. And the next meeting is on February 15th. And we look forward to continuing our service. And I will just note at the end that I did have a conversation with Rob Padgett, the executive director, and he noted that the quality of the representation that he gets from Yolo County is quite exceptional, and he wishes every county would follow our lead in terms of having such engaged, thoughtful board members.
That's very, very nice to hear from him. I appreciate it, and I would certainly understand why, because Lucas Ferrix has presided over that board and is passionate about this issue. Lucas, I presume we would like to continue on that board. Is that correct?
If this board will have me do so, I'd be honored to do that. And I do think that there is definitely something that we said. It's a 16-member board, and there's a fair amount of turnover between Placer County and Santa Clara County all the way up and down. So having a little bit of continuity probably would not be a worse thing for that agency.
All right. Well, we'll consider the appointment provisional upon your appointment, but we know that that's a shoo-in. So, colleagues, I presume I didn't want to jump the gun on anyone, but I presume you're all comfortable with Lucas continuing. All right. So that means we have one additional.
You can't see Jessie's raising her hand.
Yeah, Jessie, please.
Hi, Chair Stoward. I didn't want to jump out of your train of thought there.
but I did want to ask a clarifying question. Director Chapman, is this stop in your district, in your district for the city of Davis?
In my council member district? Is that just how you were breaking
up? Yeah. Yes, no, and I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. This is in the seat that Lucas used to hold, so District 3, which is the current open seat right now in our council.
Okay, so...
you've got another public comment, Chair Stoller.
Thank you, and who is commenting?
It's a member from the Yellow County Board of Supervisors. Shocker, I know. Director Stoller or Chair Stoller, I'm just going to say, actually, I think this board, the CCGSA board has been around for about 30 years, I think, at this point. And historically, to my understanding, many of the appointments from YCTD have historically been those individuals where where the stations are located primarily. So I don't know if that has to continue on the way that it has historically, certainly, but that's how I think a lot of the jurisdictions approached it. I know Director Lauren had asked Director Chapman about the location of the district or the train station and such. If I'm not mistaken, I think that actually, unbelievably or not, that the train station in Davis is actually located in Councilmember Chapman's district. Most of his district is South Davis, but he does have a little bit of a sort of a hook into the downtown and including the train station. So, I'm sure he can fight me on that one.
No worries, Lucas. When Autumn told me about this, actually, I thought it might be an interesting assignment as well. I'm a Capitol Corridor writer from time to time. But, I don't feel strongly about it. Josh, how do you feel? Are you interested in taking this one on?
Yeah, I think for me, this one, as Supervisor Farrick said, I think with the station being the only stop in Yellow County, being right in Davis, it would make sense to have that representation on there. When I was stepping back and looking at some of my new appointments, that we kind of reset all of our appointments after 2 years, this board was of particular interest to me, and within that was some of the subcommittees that I've kind of freed up some other areas and carved out some time to try if this board was so willing to appoint me to it that I have the time to be able to commit to doing it. So if it moves in that direction, I'm more than happy to serve in that role.
That's fine with me. Other board members?
You guys are really nice about this. So it sounds like potentially Chair Stollard would be interested, and then because the station actually is in Davis, our soon-to-be supervisor, Ferrix, will for institutional knowledge, and I think Director Chapman, you're saying, hey, I would be interested too. Did I summarize that pretty well? Yeah. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Chair Stoller, you don't have strong feelings about it, Director.
I just thought it would be an interesting assignment because it's one of those larger regional activities, and I do find myself very fascinated by regional collaboration. But you know something, I'm really happy to see Jeff take it. I guess I'm going to be a little sensitive here and say I don't want to feel like Capitol Corridor is a Davis thing. It's the Davis station, but it's serving a larger area, including a number of Woodland commuters, myself from time to time. So, as long as we don't succumb to that thinking, I wouldn't really have a problem with us taking the MC.
Dr. Early. I appreciate you saying that, Chair. Because that was the only thing, I guess, I was thinking, too. Like, on one hand, I'm like, yes, it makes sense, because there's a station in Davis. And on the other hand, I'm like, well, but the station will always be in Davis. Does that mean it's always the Davis position? So I think that's the only thing I was concerned about as well, particularly because we now have Supervisor Ferrix, right, who was Davis and is still representing Davis, and then another city council member of Davis representing it. So you get two Davis perspectives, basically, on there.
Chair
Clara Stollard, I think that Dr. Early raises an interesting point of kind of spreading the wealth and the love around of, you know, our jurisdictions. So I wonder, you know, how passionately you feel about this.
Are you listening to me or are you testing Josh?
Chair Stollard.
I'm not feeling passionately about it. You know, I wouldn't want it to be a source of any ill feeling. You know, like I say, I ride the train from time to time. I think it's a great service. I really admire what Lucas has done. I'm glad he'll be able to continue. But, you know, it shouldn't be perceived as just a Davis resource. So, as long as it's not.
So I would make a motion to appoint Supervisor Ferris and Director Chapman to the directors to serve at the Capitol Quarter for the CCJPA.
Thank you, Jesse. Is there a second to that motion?
If I may, Chair Stollard, I will just point out we do also need to appoint an alternate.
Okay. Oh, public comment.
And take public comment, yes.
well, we will do public comment. But Gloria Partita has been the alternate. Why don't we just leave her there?
Well,
actually, great. Wouldn't that? Yeah. Could I amend that?
Please do.
So Chair Stollard, couldn't you be the alternate? Isn't that like a good middle ground here for this discussion?
Okay, I'll be the alternate. All right. Now, the maker of the motion, is that consistent for you?
That is consistent. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have the maker of the motion and the second to the motion. Was that you, Dante?
Yes, Dr. Early seconds.
Okay. All right. So the motion is we'll appoint Josh Chapman and Lucas Frerichs to be our representatives, the Capitol Corridor Joint Power Authority, and I will serve as alternate to both of them should either of them not be able to attend a meeting. But that's the motion, and is there other public comment at this time?
Public comment at this time?
Thank you, Heather. Hearing none, we'll have a roll call vote. Thank you, Heather.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the collegiality expressed in that conversation. All right. The last action item on the meeting tonight is potential change in meeting time. And let me introduce this. I see. Did you want to speak first, Autumn?
It's whatever works for you, Chair Stollard.
Well, I brought it up, and others who know me. I like to get meetings earlier in the day wherever possible so that, you know, we can have dinner with families and things like that. So I'm wondering how any of you feel about a 4 o'clock meeting as opposed to a 7 o'clock meeting. Just thought I'd float it, and I realize if you have work obligations that make that unrealistic, it's a moot point. We don't need to discuss it further. Anyone have concerns about a meeting, for example, at 4 o'clock?
This is Dr. Early. I have no concerns. I would also add to this, as long as we're discussing time, it's also a meeting location, as we're going to be going back in person. As someone who, from a state commission that serviced all 58 counties, we had rotating meetings. And since we have several different cities represented on this board, it would be, I think, great to at least consider a rotating across our different cities. I know that I could definitely provide a meeting location at our city hall, and would love the option of having rotating so that our different residents could also hopefully participate, and so from an equitable standpoint as well.
Well, go ahead. Additional comment? I can't see Ray.
Director Lauren? Director Lauren, I would like to make a comment that if 4 o'clock is too early for me, I could go as early as 6, but I can't
work and then come back and be prepped for a meeting at 4 o'clock. It's too early for me during the day.
All right.
I don't have a comment on the rotating. I hadn't thought about that. I'd like to just think about that a little longer.
Yeah, I withdraw the suggestion in view of the fact that it's in the position on a work schedule. Okay, so I'm going to ask the question.
We do have public comment.
Who's wishes to speak?
Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Alan, please proceed.
Yes, I'm concerned that an early meeting time would discourage public engagement, especially when you're doing the largest single project in the county. And second, if you rotate meetings, it's really important that the locations be transit accessible, not just driving accessible. This is a transit agency, so that's really, really important. Thank you.
That's a good point, Alan. And, I've already waived this issue of the time. I mean, we have a person whose work schedule doesn't accommodate it, so let's just live with 7 o'clock. It's still working fine, I think. As terms of rotation, I think, Dr. Early, you're hearing about the wrinkles that are involved.
Our city hall is obviously publicly accessible. I have the before, too. So it drops right off in front of it. So at least for our location here in West Sacramento would be accessible to the public, not only the public in West Sacramento, but the public across the county as well.
I certainly can't argue with your logic. I will say we have a beautiful boardroom that's built as part of our transportation facility where we've been meeting for.
And I have 35 minutes to get there, Tom.
Yeah. We have to
put it.
Yeah. We weren't agendizing the place, but I think the input, we'll take the input to the staff, we'll talk it over, see what we can work out. Okay?
I appreciate that, Tom, and I'll follow up with Autumn. It's agendized on the next meeting.
All right.
Chair Stellar, just for the record for the discussion, I just would like to add that Winners would not have any public transportation that would be available during those hours, and that we would not have, any of that available to the public. So just keeping that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We have the input. We'll see what we need to do. Is there any further business before the board tonight, Autumn?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right. Then, as the minutes the agenda reflects, our next meeting will be Monday, February 13th at 7 p.m., currently scheduled to be in the Yolo Transportation District Boardroom in Woodland. Thank you, everyone, for your participation tonight. We so appreciate it. Have a good night. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.